Why do we produce the IMC Radio News?
Because the chasm isn't left to right. It's top to bottom.
To give voice to people who aren't heard.
To bust up the myth of objective journalism.
Bill O'Reilly does not have a monopoly on the truth.
To build our community and re-educate the public.
To revive the voice of organized labor.
To bring forth debate so as to animate democracy.
Because I want to agitate for revolution.
Listen to the voices of your community on IMC Radio News.
Welcome to this March 14th edition of the IMC Radio News. I'm Sandra Auten, your host for the next half hour. The views and opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WEFT FM, Prairie Air Incorporated, station management, the board of directors, or the WEFT associates. Our feature story tonight is titled, Your Neighbors and the Primary Election. During this segment, you will hear pieces of an interview with Mark Sheldon about the primary voting procedure and voices of your progressive community discussing which races are important to them, who they will vote for, and why. We will also be hearing Citizen Speak, a timely commentary from Brandon Bowersox on the state of gay marriage. First, these headlines. The Board of Trustees at the University of Illinois, the group who is ultimately responsible for deciding if and when to retire the beleaguered mascot known as Chief Illiniwek, received word at its March 11th meeting that student trustee Nate Allen will introduce a resolution at the April 19th meeting to retire the symbol. The resolution was authored by board member Frances Carroll but was delayed introduction at the two previous board meetings. What I've seen on campus, especially in the past week, has saddened and almost disgusted me. I'm looking out on the quad and you see African Americans, Latinos, Asians, and whites in one pocket, and on the other, the pro-chief side, it's all whites. I'm not going to get into the argument if the chief is racist, but it's racially divisive. In solidarity with protests that are being held in cities throughout the country, Chicago is hosting a rally against the war next Saturday, March 20th. The march will begin at 1:30 p.m. at Daley Plaza. The city of Chicago has refused to issue protest parade permits after 1:30 p.m., but the organizers are prepared to march to the area known as the Gold Coast on Michigan Avenue. Due to this, arrests are expected. The Champaign Police Chief will meet members of the community who wish to voice their opinion at the consideration of police purchasing taser guns. Community members have expressed concern that tasers will be used disproportionately against minority members of the community and against those involved in street demonstrations. Tasers can be fatal. Listeners who would like to be informed about the subject or voice an opinion or show solidarity with the NAACP who are not in favor of this purchase are invited to a meeting at the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 808 East Bradley Avenue in Champaign on Monday night from 6 to 8 p.m. The police chief will be there and the board members from the city council have been invited. According to a post on the IMC Newswire, the Manifest Liberation Front, a Bloomington, Illinois-based group, plans to kill a pig on the quad of the Illinois State University. This act is timed with the coordination of the first anniversary of the invasion of Iraq and is in recognition of the anguish that has been caused by the U.S. and the violence that has been instigated against the people of Iraq and Afghanistan. The pig will be slaughtered at noon on Wednesday, March 17th, in a tactic that is designed to force people to recognize and confront the horror and reality of the violence of war. In contrast, AWARE, the anti-war, anti-racism effort, which meets weekly at the IMC on Sundays at 5:30, is organizing The World Still Says No to War. The program will begin with poetry and music and a talk by Muhammad Al-Hiti at the Urbana Middle School, 1201 South Vine in Urbana. This will be followed by a peace march to downtown Urbana, where there will be speakers including veteran Meg Miner, Imani Bazell, and councilperson Danielle Chenoweth. Paul Kothomer will provide music at the rally. That rally again is on Saturday, March 20th at 3 p.m. at Urbana Middle School. You You are listening to IMC Radio News. I'm your host, Sandra Auten. The feature tonight, Your Neighbors in the Primary Election, will be coming up right after this week's edition of Citizen Speak by Brandon Bowersox, where he discusses the state of gay marriage.
A dear friend of mine telephoned. He asked that gay activists be a bit less renegade in demanding same-sex marriage. My friend first argued that we appear lawless. In New Paltz, New York, for example, Mayor Jason West married 25 couples until a court's restraining order and 19 counts of solemnizing marriage without a license convinced him to stop, according to the New York Times. Civil disobedience means breaking a law you believe is wrong. In a few years, history books could list these lawbreakers next to Rosa Parks. My friend next argued that we cannot let gay marriage be the primary media issue of the presidential election debate. On this issue, many Americans support President Bush, he claimed. Do we want to risk this election? Columnist Matthew Miller calls the marriage issue red meat for conservatives and says Bush is using gay marriage to hijack the debate. There's some sense to that. I want the election year dialogue to remember that people my age are on the other side of the world losing their lives every day for a war we started based on made-up evidence. I want to talk about schools laying off teachers and our Social Security system that's being strangled to death. I want to talk about international arms treaties and fuel efficiency and worker rights. In return for ending the Iraq War, part of me is willing to hold off on the right to marry. Who am I to discuss marriage benefits while we let soldiers die? But that can't be right. Silencing demands for marriage equality can't be the solution. Doesn't going back into the closet bring more harm than good? By speaking up for marriage equality, I get a chance to have conversations with fellow citizens who may feel differently. That national dialogue, not the election outcome, is what really advances our society. In Ithaca, New York, Mayor Carolyn Peterson and the city clerk agreed not to award same-sex marriage licenses, but instead to join a lawsuit with gay citizens of their town asking the state Supreme Court to permit same-sex marriages. Attorneys from Lambda Legal were on hand for a press conference and praised the town for taking a cautious approach and working through the courts, not breaking laws, to make a point, according to the Ithaca Journal. After San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom led the effort to start marriages there, Congressman Barney Frank, a Massachusetts Democrat, telephoned Mayor Newsom, urging him to, quote, drop the idea, and told the Associated Press he did not support Newsom's renegade action. How could this be? An openly gay congressman can finally choose to get married in his home state, and he's worried about upsetting people? The New York Times reports that 19 states have introduced constitutional amendments forbidding same-sex marriage since January 1st, with three more states expected to do so this spring. Nearly all of these states already have laws against same-sex marriage, including Illinois, New York, and California, and 38 states in all. But writing a ban into the Constitution is stronger than law. Are we afraid of the backlash? A nationwide Harris poll found that a majority, 56%, support laws banning discrimination against gays and lesbians, but only 16% in the same poll supported legalizing gay and lesbian marriage. A Middle Tennessee State University poll in 2004 shows overwhelming support, over 80%, for civil rights laws giving fairness in housing and jobs, but only 20% supporting gay marriage. On the issue of a constitutional amendment, recent Gallup polling shows 51% favor and 45% oppose a constitutional amendment. When asked, do you think homosexual marriages should be valid with the same rights as traditional marriage, the split widens to 63% opposed and only 33% in favor. So, America is divided. The public agrees with President Bush when asked if they want to allow these marriages, but there's less support for President Bush's amendment banning them. And when framed as a civil rights issue, the public strongly favors wording ending discrimination. If the majority of people don't support it, should a Supreme Court decide that we can marry? What if the tables were turned and judges ordered pouring toxic sludge into the Salt Fork River, despite complaints of a majority of citizens and legislatures? Do we want the court to help us, or should we wait for lawmakers or a voter referendum? It was the Supreme Court who first acted in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954, and 10 years later Congress responded with the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Acts. So, where should I book travel plans to get married? Chicago won't work, because Mayor Daley's suggestion to begin same-sex marriages was ignored by the Cook County Clerk. Boston in May sounds good. It appears marriages will begin there despite efforts to amend the state's constitution that could go on the ballot statewide in 2006. Sandoval County, New Mexico, and Asbury Park, New Jersey, married a few couples but stopped marriages when the issue went to court. California suspended marriages in San Francisco while Mayor Newsom and others take the issue to court, leaving Portland, Oregon as the only other U.S. marriage destination right now. KOIN News reports that Multnomah County, Oregon, will continue issuing marriage licenses despite an opinion by the Oregon Attorney General that the marriages are not permissible. No matter where you get a same-sex marriage, you will be in legal limbo for quite a while. You'll have to fight for your state to recognize your marriage from another state. And the Social Security Administration, at the request of President Bush, already said it will not accept same-sex marriage licenses from San Francisco until a ruling by the California courts.
This Tuesday, tomorrow, March 16th, is the date of the primary elections here in Illinois. During this segment of the IMC Radio News, we will be hearing from various citizens who are asked which races are important to them, who they are voting for in these races, and why. In a primary election, the voter decides whether to vote on a Republican or Democratic ballot. First, I speak to Mark Sheldon, Champaign County Clerk, about this process.
So any person can go in there and pull a Republican ballot if they voted Democrat the last 10 elections, or vice versa. If they've voted Republican the last 10 elections, they can pull a Democratic ballot. Or if you've never voted in a primary for either side, you can once again pull a ballot for either party.
Is that something that's decided on a county-by-county basis?
No, that's state law.
Bob Finch, an Urbana lawyer, who most would expect to vote Democratic, is using this choice to advocate in what he considers more important races than the presidential or Senate races. He discusses his strategy.
If we are going to have any energy and be able to do anything with the Democratic process, we have to do it locally. I consider myself an independent voter, and frankly, I believe that Champaign County is primarily an independent county. Many times we've seen massive shifts in particular races in the general election to a Democrat when most people were voting Republican and vice versa, because we have just the right size demographics that voters really can choose people based upon who they are, not their party affiliation.
Bob Finch is indeed voting Republican in this primary in order to affect the Champaign County State's attorney's race. On the Republican ticket, Bruce Radcliffe has staged a campaign against sitting state's attorney John Pylon. Finch looks at Pylon's administrative record.
So what we have been seeing through the Pylon era is this overly aggressive attitude about getting convictions for felonies or serious misdemeanors because they want to count coup, not because it was pragmatically logical for the case in point. And one of the things that does when a state's attorney is trying to get convictions a little bit further or a lot further than they should, is it clogs the system. Defense counsel know that the state's attorney's probably going to cave in at some point, or at least they're going to try everything they can to get the offense and the plea that they should get in a reasonable system. And that means more and more cases waiting for trial, and the major cases not getting to trial quickly. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting the people who need to be crunched, confronted, and sent to the penitentiaries. And then the outrageous events that the News Gazette's letters to the editor have been talking about for years now, where we had two different prosecution decisions made by Pylon himself that just outraged portions of our community. Sexual violations by the teacher case, and then this fall, the ridiculous situation with the best.
So you don't see this as characteristic of a Republican necessarily, that they over-prosecute, over-charge, and you think that Bruce Radcliffe might have a different approach?
Well, for two reasons. First of all, it isn't a Republican thing. Tom DeFantis never did this, and he was a Republican, still is as far as I know. He's the chief judge now. But the fact is that Bruce Radcliffe, who I've known all the years he's been in practice, Bruce was a public defender for many years. He's an easygoing man. He is somebody who understands what plea bargaining is all about. He's part of the community of lawyers in this town, all of whom know that the overcharging approach doesn't work. I mean, I'm not just talking about a philosophy. I'm talking about simple industrial standards of how you get something done right. The state's attorney's office in a community this size has a huge amount of serious felony work to do. And having an attitude that you've got to get that extra conviction is totally antagonistic to the purposes of the state's attorney's office for the benefit of our community. And I'm very confident that Bruce Ratcliffe understands that. I'm not fearful of Bruce being state's attorney. When the fall election comes, I am confident that Julia Reitz is the better candidate.
It is good to remember that Pyland might be beatable, even as conservatives have questioned his handling of the office, as evidenced by the News Gazette's endorsement of Democrat Steve Holtz over Pyland in the last election. If a voter decides to vote a Republican ticket, they alone will have the choice of who will fill the open judgeship in Champaign County. I questioned Mark Sheldon about this.
Now, I understand on the ticket for judges that there are only Republican candidates. So would this still be considered a primary for them?
Yes, it's still a primary, and they'll still have to be elected in the general election. It's just that they won't, there's no ability for the Democrats to slate anybody. However, the candidate will still have to get at least one vote in the general election and theoretically could also lose to a write-in person.
Oh, okay.
Finch gives his opinion on the judge race.
I frankly respect anybody's call on that race because the qualifications of the three candidates are so similar. Ultimately, they're all Republicans, and it's too bad none of us Democrats wanted to run for judge.
You are listening to IMC Radio News. I'm Sandra Auten. This is a special program, Your Neighbors in the Primary Election. I've compiled this audio document of a sampling of voices from the Urbana-Champaign community, dare I say progressive community, discussing their voting strategy. Here's Mark Sheldon again as I question him about the presidential ticket.
Well, you're doing two things. You'll first get a vote in what we'd call presidential preference, which is you get to vote candidates for president, and I think there's only one Republican candidate, George Bush, and then a number of the Democratic candidates that are still left on the ticket, and you will vote for those people. And then following those votes for president, you will have a chance to vote for delegates for those candidates. However, if you vote for John Kerry for president, it doesn't mean that you have to vote for John Kerry's delegates. You could vote for other people that you maybe know. You could vote for none of them, and however you wanted to split up your vote, you could do that.
So what would be the significance then of voting for a candidate or voting for a delegate that wasn't representing the same person you voted for president?
Well, some people have in the past have actually voted for somebody because they know them, so they may want to vote for those people, but they feel strongly that they want to see John Kerry or John Edwards or somebody like that get elected and have their delegates selected, then they should vote for those delegates.
Will they be bound to represent that, to vote for that person as a delegate?
I think they are bound on the first ballot to vote for that person. But then if it ever went to more ballots, then those people could vote for others.
And now we hear some more voting strategies from members of the community.
My name is Adam Zmick.
And you are going to be voting in the primary election on Tuesday. And which races are you interested in?
The senatorial race and the congressional, U.S. Congress race.
Okay, so talk first about
the race.
Okay, good. Talk first about the Senate race.
I'm voting for Barack Obama. I think he's got the most progressive platform. I heard that he was for a national health care plan. And I heard that he was he's done a lot for civil rights, especially against the Patriot Act, and has actually like had a lot of experience doing that in Springfield. And I'm really worried about Blair Hull actually doing it because I've heard lots of bad things about him, but I know that he's got a lot of money behind him, so that people might not actually know some of the more dirty details about him.
Okay, so what about the race for the representative then? You're going to vote Democratic, I take it?
I'm voting for Gill. I do know for a fact that he's for national health care. He's against NAFTA and WTO. He's got a lot of platform planks that are very similar to Dennis Kucinich. Yeah, I'm voting for Dennis Kucinich for president. Well, I'm really hoping that if Dennis gets enough delegates to the convention that we can change the party platform, at least enough to pull in some of the Nader people, pull them back into the fold. And then if, you know, Kerry is smart and picks a good, you know, a vice presidential candidate who can get some, you know, I know there has been talk of picking McCain. I think that would be genius. But to get, you know, to get enough of the, you know, the swing Republican voters, and then to make sure that he doesn't lose people to Nader. The most important issue is voting reform, like instant runoff voting, where you get to rank the voters or the candidates. And then media reform, you know, making sure that every candidate gets, you know, to put his face on the TV that doesn't, you know, cost an arm and a leg.
And here's Danielle Chenoweth.
Of all the choices we have on the primary ballot this Tuesday, the U.S. Senate race is the most important, I believe. We have the chance to put a progressive in a seat once held by conservative Republican Peter Fitzgerald. Illinois Senator Barack Obama is my clear candidate of choice. These days it seems like folks will say anything to get elected. So I look at a candidate's voting record, if I can, to determine where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Senator Obama was the chief sponsor of essential health care reform bills calling for an end to discriminatory pricing and aggressive debt collection practices and pushing for universal health care. Obama is the co-sponsor of the Senate bill to prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and employment and housing, and he's a leading voice in the Senate in protecting a woman's right to reproductive freedom, which we all know is under significant assault right now. Obama was the chief sponsor of the groundbreaking law requiring the videotaping of interrogations and murder cases to prevent abuse by police. And he's the chief legislative architect of a new law requiring that state and local police officers record the race of stopped motorists in order to uncover and end racial profiling. In 1 year alone, Obama passed an impressive 26 bills. And as an elected official myself, I know how hard it is to get anything passed. His record to me is staggering. And it would please me greatly if Illinois sent an African-American to an all-white Senate. He's got a slight lead in the polls, and so I'm crossing my fingers and talking to every voter I can get my hands on to support Barack Obama for a U.S. Senate.
Which other races are you interested in?
I'm supporting David Gill, who is running for the U.S. House of Representatives in a primary against Ralph Langenheim, and he would eventually, if he won, be up against Tim Johnson. He is clearly in support of universal health care. It's the health care issue that got him involved in politics. David Gill's ideas for national health insurance make sure that everyone is covered instead of kind of opting some people out and keeping some people in. And he's come up with a plan to reduce our out-of-pocket expenses for health care. He supports a living wage, renewable energy, and fair trade policies. And he's not afraid to call the sections of the Patriot Act that allow the FBI access to your library records and to conduct secret arrests the F word. He clearly calls these fascists.
Danielle Chenoweth there. She indicates a vote for Kucinich for president. And here's what she says about the election in November.
Anybody but Bush. Anybody but Bush. Anybody but Bush.
This is Esther Pat, who along with Danielle Chenoweth, who we just heard from, is a city council person in Urbana. Urbana residents have the option of voting on an advisory referendum. Esther begins by explaining this referendum.
A referendum will appear on the ballot in Urbana and about half the places in Illinois, asking folks, just advisory, if they would support increasing the state income tax on all income over $250,000 a year in order to raise funds to pay more out to local school districts and provide some property tax relief to homeowners. I would urge people to vote yes. This isn't a binding referendum, but it is an opportunity for the voters to communicate to our legislators that we want a change in the way schools are funded. More state income tax money needs to be used in order to fund schools so that we don't have deplorable situations like what's going on in Urbana right now, where the school district is forced to cut $1 million a year out of their budget. The presidential race does appear decided, but I think John Kerry's very strong candidates to defeat President Bush, and I will definitely be voting for him. In the Senate race, without a doubt, Barack Obama is the best candidate in the Democratic primary. He's the only candidate with legislative experience, and in his 7 or so years in the state Senate, he has earned a reputation of being very effective in getting bipartisan support to pass important legislation. Well, in the congressional race, I'm supporting Dr. David Gill. Universal health care is his top issue, and he's also got positions on a variety of issues, lesbian gay rights, reproductive choice, a number of other issues with which I agree. And I think that whoever wins is going to have a tough race in the fall because they're running against Republican Tim Johnson in a very Republican district. But I think that Mr. Gill's got what it takes to give Tim a good run for his money.
Now we're going to hear from David Johnson, who is a union representative. He starts by talking about his presidential vote for Kucinich.
He's the only candidate out there that's actually pro-labor and is willing to help the American economy as far as eliminating NAFTA and these other corporate trade deals that hurt the average citizens in this country. The other races I'm looking at are also the U.S. Senate race. I'm supporting Obama in that race because he has a really excellent track record as his time as the Illinois Senate for both working people and also on the health care issue. Those two are the main ones I'm looking at the moment.
Have you considered the congressional race at all?
Oh, yes, the congressional race. I had an opportunity to meet Dr. David Gill, and I'm very impressed with his stand on the issues. It'd be great to have him in Congress as opposed to Tim Johnson, of course. He seems like he's also very good. He wants to do something about the unfair trade treaties, and also he wants to try to do something about our health care crisis, mainly try to go to a national health care system.
And now Meg Miner telling about her vote for Kucinich for president.
He is the whole person candidate, and not just the people in the United States. He cares about your life, your health, and your livable planet for now and into the future.
And how do you think your vote for Kucinich is going to influence the obvious winner, and that is Kerry?
Well, my biggest hope is that we get a good showing in the district for the primary so that we can send delegates to the convention in July and get a progressive voice on the Democratic platform.
Any idea how many votes it's going to take to get a delegate for Kucinich there?
I know what the percentage is. I don't know how many votes that translates into in the county here, but it's 15% in Congressional District 15.
So truly, when you think about that you could get a delegate. I mean, that's very likely. Tell us when Kucinich is coming to town.
He is going to be at the U of I ABC rooms in the Illini Union at 8 o'clock on Monday night.
That's tonight evening, so tonight at 8 p.m. you can hear Dennis Kucinich.
If you can't make it to the Union, go to www.kucinich.us, and that's K-U-C-I-N-I-C-H, Kucinich,
okay.
Just like spinach. It's good for you and good for the country.
That was Meg Miner. She's also supporting Barack Obama and Dr. Gill. Dr. Gill, who will be running against Ralph Langenheim in the Democratic primary, will be taking on Tim Johnson in the fall. And Dr. Gill will be speaking tonight with Dennis Kucinich at the Illini Union. I asked Mark Sheldon if indeed one or two votes could ever make a difference in an election.
Absolutely. We've had the mayor of Rantoul was tied one time. And they had to flip a coin. We've had many, many races decided under 10 votes. We had a county board race decided by 3 votes one time in a primary. We've had a state legislative race decided by 32 votes.
Probably in the Senate race with that many candidates, too. So
yeah,
you're splitting up all those votes.
Yes. That is definitely a race that could end up being very close. Election.
Mm-hmm. This has been the IMC Radio News with a special production titled Your Neighbors and the Primary Election. To see the Champaign County ballot, you can visit www.champaigncountyclerk.com. My thanks to contributors Adam Schmick, Danielle Chenoweth, Esther Pat, David Johnson, Meg Miner, Mark Sheldon, and Bob Finch. Thanks also to Lisa Chasen, Paul Muth, and Bernadine Steak. I am Sandra Otten, and I wrote and produced the show, except for Citizen Speak, which was written by Brandon Bowersox. Thanks to Brandon for his contribution. Interlude music was by David Quayle. Thanks, Danielle Chenoweth and Zach Miller, for technical assistance. And hello to listeners at WTND Low Power FM 106.3 in Macomb, Illinois. If you would like to be involved with IMC Radio News, you can email radio@ucimc.org or attend our meetings on Tuesday nights at 5:30 at the Independent Media Center, 218 West Main Street in downtown Urbana. Good night.